Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This week on the How to Be 60 podcast, the founder of Absolute Collagen, Maxine Laceby. And there is no one who's more surprised that she now heads up a multi-million pound business than her.
If you'd have told me at 16, at 58, you're going to have short grey hair, be carrying 2 stone more than normal, and you'll be the face of a beauty brand, I would have absolutely howled. But here I am. Very bizarre.
And I'm wondering, how to be 60, it's scaring the shit out of me.
Well, hello, fellow travellers. It's time for another injection of How to Be 60 with me, Kay Adams, and...
me.
I've got some suggestions for you in terms of your introduction from our lovely listeners. They have been in touch to give you a ta-da moment.
Ta-da, well, ta-da, we.
Ta-da, you ready?
Yeah.
Jane Young has been in touch. She's obviously been working overtime on this. She went for, well, the obvious thing, the first one, obviously, Mad McKenzie. But that's just a statement of fact.
Yeah.
But then the Mac.
The Mac.
The Mac, but it doesn't scan.
No.
Mickey Adams and the Mac.
No.
Falls off the end. Mm-hmm. This one I like. Mm-hmm. Madam McKenzie.
Madam McKenzie. That makes me sound a bit like a modem, like a madam. You little madam, you.
Yeah.
Behave yourself.
Or a modem, like, you know, like modem. A brothel owner.
I'm liking modem better, actually. Modem McKenzie.
My favourite one, though, is Frenzy McKenzie.
We're quite like that.
Frenzy McKenzie.
Frenzy McKenzie.
Mickey Adams and Frenzy McKenzie.
Frenzy McKenzie.
So that's a tick, that's a possible.
All right, possible. Now I've got a few on Instagram as well.
Okay, right.
I'll stick them out actually for next week because I don't have them with me just now.
Jesus, I know. Right.
One was Big Mac or Frenzy
Big Mac.
Mac.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. That's... for Mickey Adams and he came
Big Mac. No, we need something. Frenzy McKenzie's good.
Frenzy McKenzie.
Thank you for that, Jane. She also says, loving the podcast. I turned 60 in May. Scared. Which really struck me, you know, because funny, a friend of mine, well, actually, one of the, I was going to say girls that works on Loose Women, she's a young woman who works on Loose Women, she sent me a nice message the other day and she said that she'd met somebody who was a real fan of the podcast, which is lovely.
That's nice.
And this person has said, it makes me less scared of being 60. And I thought, that's funny because, you know, I had all this whole thing about being 60. So I don't think I was scared. You know, I was kind of disbelieving that I would be 60 because I held it in such a sort of
fear or
horror or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, and I was a bit confused. I was like, Christ, how can I be 60?
Yeah. But you didn't want to announce that you were 60, though, did you?
No, but I don't think I was scared. And I was quite interested that Jane said and this other woman had said that she was actually scared of being 60. Isn't that funny?
What you're scared of?
Yeah.
Is it how you're seen?
I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting thing. Scared of being 60. And Carmel has come in with Glamour McKenzie.
Oh, that's it. Is that Australian for glamour?
No, well, glamour? It's obviously in your impending grannyhood. You know, like a glamma.
Oh, good.
A glamorous granny.
Oh, right. Well, I'll take that.
Yes.
Glamour McKenzie.
Yes.
Nobody will understand that, though. I don't have to explain
We can explain it. No, thank you for those. So podcast at HTB60 for your suggestions to introduce Karen. But, I mean, it's happening very soon. We're in proper countdown mode, aren't we, for the baby?
We are. I know it's getting very exciting. I started to look for, you know, these polystyrene boxes you get at the fish... mongers that are kind of, you know, you they're kind of, I suppose they're,
it's a baby that's coming.
No, I know that, but I've said to Lisa I would like to take the placenta home to dig into the garden, and I thought that would be really nice.
Are you winding me up?
No, I'm not, and I know it's slightly cranky, even I'm on the sort of crank edge of crankiness, but They're full of nutrients, the placenta.
You're not saying this with a straight face. You are winding me up.
What I'm thinking is, I think I don't need the box from the fishmongers.
No, the placenta. How are you going to get the placenta?
It's on her notes. She's got it on her notes. So when I was back up at the midwife with her last week, and after birth, so that's going with you, is it? So they have to register it. So I'm waiting for the call, obviously the announcement, and they'll be in the van way up there with my zip lock bag, my cool box, and my blocks of, my ice things.
We've been doing this for 2 years and you have finally shut me up.
I don't believe that for a second.
You are down on her hospital notes to collect the afterbirth.
Yeah, but I won't eat it, Kay. I'm not cooking it and eating it. That would be a step too far. And nor would I make jewellery with it. I think it's a really nice gesture. So I'm going to get a little holly tree or something, like a little baby holly tree, and put it in a tub. And then in goes the soil, then placenta, then more soil, and then the holly tree. And then, when it comes to it, she can actually take it when she gets a gardener or whatever. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm trying to go with that. That's nice.
It is nice. It's lovely.
Right.
It's a shame to get rid of it. As I say, it's full of nutrients.
You're not going to grow vegetables around it or anything?
Well, I suppose I could actually. God, they might go wild though. Eh?
Tell you what, today's guest is absolutely going to love you. It's Maxine Laceby, who's the founder of Absolute Collagen, which has, of course, taken the beauty industry by storm. Maxine didn't work for 25 years. She was bringing up her two girls. And then just as she was turning 50, she started brewing up chicken feet. So like I say, you two are going to get on like a house on fire. She'll tell you the story. Discovered collagen out of this, and out of that, an empire was born. So I'm looking forward to speaking to her. But I'm thinking that's where you're going wrong with all the mad stuff that you make, the kombucha and the marmalade and the pickled cucumber and the tablet, because you're not catching a wave.
It'd be lovely to make a million. I'm not making that million, am I?
She caught a wave, with the collagen. You're not catching a wave. So maybe pickled placenta.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh, my
God. Run with me on this one. This
red wine vinegar or white wine or cider?
Oh, my God. Sorry.
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 Are you come down your nose?
Yeah,
it's quite sore when it comes down your nose.
It is indeed. Anyway, how's your décolletage?
Which I can't even say that.
Go on, try it.
Décolletage.
I can't really say it either, actually. Just say it because I think
my chest.
Your chest. How's your crinkly, creepy old chest?
No.
Let me have a look at it. I can see
you've got crinkles. Can you see? I'm all right, actually.
Well,
yeah. It's all right, actually.
To be honest, mine isn't that good, so I can't really boast about it.
No. But don't give up, Kay.
No,
it's worth it.
You've been using Maxine's stuff.
Yes, yeah, stuff, the collagen stuff.
Yeah.
The cream smells gorgeous.
Yes.
I have to say, it's really nice. And I hope that I'm doing it right, but I started my... Where would you see that is?
Chest.
Just above you. Yeah. No, they're not.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Maybe I think they are.
No, it's probably because I got in a baggy jumper.
That's quite tight.
No, it's
I hope
not.
The collagen isn't shrinking your chest.
Christ, you think it will? It tightens things up that much.
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe they won't be pendulous anymore. She actually looks distressed. This is wonderful.
But I'm loving the smell of it. And also, I'm wanting to ask a question because I've got the collagen. I don't know what the names of it are. You need to put on your eyes. I want to know whether it goes under your eyes or just round.
All right, we can ask.
So,
it's good. I'm really glad to see that you're taking better care of yourself now. Because now that you've got this one glistening tooth...
And do you know what the bizarre thing is?
Baby getting a fright when it sees
tooth,
you.
Next to the tooth that's been done looks really white. Bizarrely.
See the tooth? See, you know what? You are bloody lucky you started doing this podcast with me. You've got these...
Kay, I think about it every day. I'm so lucky sitting next to you doing this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, your teeth are whiter, they're straighter, your breasts are looking firmer.
What to do with you?
I've introduced you to a world here.
Excuse me. Well, actually, do you know what?
Yes.
HRT, you're probably right.
Thank you.
Oh my God, what have I done for you?
Yes, I am Frankenstein and you are my monster. I've said this before. It's good you're making an effort. I even like your jumper, which is great.
Thanks, Kate.
In fact, I'm looking a riot compared to you. I'm looking at Maxine and I'm a bit embarrassed. She looks very glamorous.
Yeah,
I know. Actually, I'm going to take this off. I'm looking absolutely shite. I've got to sort this up.
With your jacket off.
I was thinking about Diane last week, Diane from The Traitors.
Yeah.
And she said at the end that she still loves to get dressed up and party. Mm-hmm. She's 63, Diane, mm-hmm. I think she was, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. And I really thought about it afterwards and I thought, I mean, if it wasn't for Loose Women, I would never be out of Alaska to trousers.
Is that right?
And I don't know whether it is, that's maybe a good thing, that I'm comfortable in my own skin, or
lazy, no, make no effort.
I've given up the ghost, or I just, maybe I think I just accept at this age, you're not going to look in the mirror and go, oh, you look hot stuff, are you? So I don't know.
Okay, don't give up yet. Honest to God, you've
got, think?
You can't afford to. No, I'm not being funny.
What do you mean?
Don't. I mean, look at you. What? There's room for improvement there.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, please. I don't know. It's funny.
Have some pride in yourself.
I was in Loose Women last week and Jodie Foster was on this morning.
Oh, right.
I love Jodie Foster. I've always loved Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
So I was sitting in the makeup chair and I saw on the monitor she was on this morning. And I says, right. And I leapt out the makeup chair and said, I'm going to find Jodie Foster. And I had on a dressing gown, which I belt round my hips. It looks very unattractive.
Oh,
and so I went and I sat outside the This Morning studio and waited for Jodie Foster to come out.
Okay, that's like a wee stalker.
I know, it was pathetic. And she came out and I'm grinning at her like a complete idiot. And she looked at me, you know that way that famous people look at people and they just like are slightly cautious and they're about to call for security. And I'm saying, with my dressing gown on, belted round my hips, grinning at her like a complete idiot.
That's scary.
And it was only when I went down, I thought, shit, look at me. But then, would it have made any difference if I'd been looking
smart? Was she nice to you? Was she pleasant?
She kind of gave me that very wary smile, as if she was just a bit concerned. I love Jodie Foster. If there was ever a movie of my life, Jodie Foster would play me.
All right.
So who would play you?
I don't know if she's an actor. Annie Lennox.
Annie Lennox?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, she's strong. She's got a big mouth. That would be a start. And she's just got, she makes a statement. She's wonderful.
Oh.
Yeah. Got a wee bit of a girl fancy for it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Annie Lennox. Yeah. There we go. Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah. I wonder who Maxine would have play on her movie, because she might actually have a movie. I'll get her to think about that. Now, are you ready for some emails?
Oh, I do love this bit.
Jolly
yes.
good.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually emails of the week, because people were responding to that question, do you still get dressed up? So this is from Jeanette. She says, I'll be 60 in May, Kay, and to me it's just a number. Yep, I still like to get dressed up. I put on the fake tan every weekend, even in the winter. I think it makes you feel better. I love my heels, my skinny jeans, my miniskirts. I get the pins out when I'm going out. To me, age does not define you. Keep yourself young at heart and keep going.
I love it.
Thank you, Jeanette. Excellent. Susan says, I'm nearly 56 and I still really hate loungewear. I just love a dress. I really casual clothes. That's interesting.
What is loungewear? Is this the baggy pants? Is this the baggy joggers?
She says casual clothes make me feel old. Even at the height of the pandemic, I wanted to put on something nice because I still had to go out to work. I dressed up more than necessary to feel better.
That's good. I think that's fair enough. I mean, those joggers, do they hang around your arse? Do they fit around you, or are they just, you know, baggy everywhere?
Looking at me like that for you, hardly a fashion plate. Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, Anna Wintour here sitting next to me.
Do you think so?
No, I don't. And we've got one here from Ellie Woodburn. We're sending you all our love, Ellie. Ellie is going for tests next week for laryngeal cancer. So she says, best power lesbian outfit it shall be. I came out last year at the age of 59 and I ain't letting nothing get in my way, she says. This will be the first time out of the peninsula of Kintyre since Christmas. Time to see those 10 grand wanes, methinks.
Hey,
bloody hell, Ellie. Wishing you all the luck in the world, Ellie. I hope those tests come back the way that you want them to.
Let us know how they
go. Make sure that you look absolutely ace. I'm sure you will.
And of course, this is how you get in touch. Email us at podcast@htb60.com. That's podcast@htb60.com.
We'll speak to Maxine after this. Well, hello, the very glamorous Maxine. You are putting us to shame here.
Well, I don't think I am. I think it's just my hair.
It is your hair. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just so easy, honestly. And it's just always looks a little bit done, and it's not done, I promise you. And putting a shirt on helps, I guess.
Oh, no, you absolutely look the business. I mean, that hair. I mean, I always kind of slag Karen for letting her hair go grey. And I'm sure you'll agree it's a bird's nest. But if it could look like yours, Maxine.
It's just the colours.
You could do that. Look, you could do that.
No, I would just look like shit.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I used to have it long, and I felt I got to an age it dragged my face down. So having a style that pushed up, I just feel that it, yeah, elongates me. And it's bloody easy, because I'm all about ease. I haven't got the time or patience, to be honest with you. So
hang on, bear with us, Max. Let's just do that. Put your hair up. Because the other advantage of that is if you pull it really tight, then it pulls your jowls up. Look at that. Look. Oh, my God, I look like Yoda.
It certainly looks better for your eyes.
Now, in terms of who might play you in the movie, Maxine, because when people hear your story, they will realise that there may well be a movie. I have already thought of someone, and this has come to me as I'm looking at you. But you go first, because you get to pick who would play you in the movie.
Mm. Oh, my God. I mean, the people I really respect are like the old school ones, I guess, like the Gonnie Weaver and people like that.
Well, I tell you what, Andy McDowell.
Yeah.
Andy McDowell is who I'm going to have play you in the movie, Maxine. What do you think?
I'm going to write that email to Netflix later.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do look so glamorous. I'm sure whenever you say that to somebody, they'll always say, I don't feel that way inside. But is that part of the look? Because you are now officially the head of a beauty empire, aren't you?
Bizarre. You know, I'm 58. If you'd have told me at 16, at 58, you're going to have short grey hair, be carrying 2 stone more than normal, and you'll be the face of a beauty brand, I would have absolutely howled. But here I am. Very bizarre. And I think my personal journey to where I am physically is all part of Absolute Collagen, and how I discovered the collagen was all part of me stripping myself completely bare and taking off all my external masks. And, you know, I listen to your podcast a lot because I love you guys. And the energy you bring is amazing, by the way. And I did go through a stage of, oh, you know, what am I doing? Who am I? And some before business. And then I just had to reset, and I had to stop, and I had to think, Maxine, because I think a lot of women go through this thing where their children leave home, and we just go through so much stuff. And for me, my fine art degree that led to the collagen, for me, was a time to pause. And that really, really helped me.
You know, just to let people know the story, let's take the fine art degree, which is what, in your late 40s?
Yeah, 49.
Let's take that as the sea change. So what was life before? And then we'll talk about, you know, how and why it changed so much.
What was life before? So I was very insecure about my looks. You know, my mum was anorexic. She did a bit of modelling. And I don't know if it come from there or... But yeah, I've always been quite insecure about my looks. And if I go back a long, long time, I was adopted. My mother fostered children. We had about 28 children, not in all one go. And it was just a home full of love. And I loved children. And then I met my ex-husband. He had children. So I've never had a career to think of. I just worked in bars and shops and things. And then I gave up work to look after his children. That was my decision, because he had quite a successful business. And then we had children, so I didn't really do anything. I sat alongside a very successful person. What comes with that is a life of doing gorgeous things, hard work, entertaining, and all that sort of stuff.
And were you happy with that?
I thought I was, but no, I wasn't. And, you know, Rob and I get on really well now. And, you know, I would have never married a bad man. You know, that is my saving grace. I've always thought that, because divorce is shit, right? However much you get on, divorce is hard. And I knew once we come through that, we would get on. We just fell out of love. And no, I wasn't happy. We bought a beautiful farmhouse in France. We spent a year doing it up. We'd had all this gorgeous furniture driven over. And so the girls were probably about 9, 10 at that time. And we'd gone over to France the weekend to make this house beautiful. We were just talking to each other like we were something on the bottom of each other's shoe. And I just thought, this is really sad. What are we doing? I don't want my girls to think this is a loving relationship, because how can it be? And I gave him a bottle of wine. I'm sad, taking the girls for a walk. I want to know, are you happy? And he had the courage to say no. Rob, he said, why are you telling me now? Rob was about to sell out the following week. And I knew, because the person I am, I had to tell him before he did that. I wanted to do the right thing by everybody. And that is really who I am. And so whilst my life to everyone looked glamorous, for me it was soulless. And I hate saying that, but I just wasn't happy.
With the relationship, or was that with your sense of self?
No, it was sense of self. And I can see that now. It was nothing to do with Rob, really. I had to go on a discovery journey of myself in order to become happy with who I was. And the divorce led me to do that, you know, because I'd gone from this life of looking inward, 8 holidays a year, whatever I wanted I had, you know, great friends, lovely cars and all that stuff. So suddenly, shit, I'm on my own now. This is tough. And I hadn't even written a check, and no one writes checks anymore, for 20 years. Mm. Right. I was terrified. I remember, it's amazing, I run a business now at 30 million turnover this year. I remember the first holiday I booked without Rob, I was terrified of booking a flight. Terrified. But I had to put myself in that situation in order to get to where I am. So it was everything. It wasn't just looks. It was just about being accepting of Maxine. And what I do know is you need to accept yourself. You need to fall in love with yourself. And until you do that, nobody else will. And I've done that now. And I'm not sat here saying I'm the great I am, I'm brilliant, because I'm not. As I said, I'm just little old me, but I'm a really good person. I do the right thing and I love life. And that's not always been the case, but I had to go on that journey myself. I had to put myself in a really insecure, I had to stand on my own in order to become Maxine.
So what was the journey?
The journey started with leaving Rob. That was tough, but I knew I had to do it. I moved out of the family home and moved myself into a rented accommodation because I wanted it as easy for him as possible. I told him to take what he wanted and leave what he didn't. I'm quite an easygoing person, really, and I didn't want to fight. And once we got through that, the girls and I, as I said, bought a house in a rat-infested pit, and we did it up together, which was just beautiful. And that's where we grew as a three. And then it was the art degrees. And that's where I did my Dare to Go Bare project. And it's really weird. So the Dare to Go Bare project was all about me. I used to have long, dark, curly hair. And I guess, yeah, still insecure about who I was. And I did this project for 4 months. So I stripped myself bare of makeup. I took all the colour out of my hair. It went yellow to start with. I had it cut really short. I had a tattoo saying, own who you are. No, my first tattoo, actually. You're more than just a body. And it's a note to self. Note to self. You're more than just a body. And it's there. And the next one was own who you are. And I had my nose pierced. I bought a motorbike and I walked into my house and my children went, holy smoke, what is going on? But yeah, that's me, you know. And so I don't do things by halves. So it was the most scary, second scariest thing I'd done. Leaving Rob was the first, but the most rewarding. It was a beautiful journey of self-discovery that if I could get every woman to do it, honestly, it was just beautiful. Because I realized at the end that I'm all right. I'm enough. Look at me. I'm okay.
So how did you start to build yourself up again?
Well, first of all, I started talking to myself nicely because my inner monkey keeps putting me down. And today I laugh at her. She tells me I'm stupid. Oh, you stupid cat, Maxine. And I laugh at her now. I go, yeah, right, go away. So I started talking to myself nicely. And then I started looking at what I was putting in my body. And one of the first things I did was the Americans were doing bone broth. So I thought, well, it's got to be good if the Americans do. I'm going to make my own bone broth. I just started making it and drinking it and I had this most amazing sense of well-being. And it wasn't just how my skin was glowing. It was how I felt. I just felt really good. Cut a long story short, my eldest daughter, Darcy, was studying food science at the time. And I looked at this boiling up all these things and thought, God, this is really hard work. And I'm not one to be in the kitchen. I find it quite boring. And so we looked at it and we found out that it was probably the collagen that was making the difference. And so that's really how Absolute Collagen was born. It was just all the stars were aligned. And I took lots of risks, you know, lots and lots of risks. But I'm a risk taker. I'm the risk taker. Darcy's not. And I guess Darcy being my eldest daughter and co-founder. And that really was how Absolute Collagen came to be. It's amazing.
But then you described a life for 20 years where you hadn't even written a check, you know, mm-hmm. that everything was taken care of. I mean, it's one thing, you know, discovering yourself, you know, bone broth, you feel better. But going into business, taking the risks that you're talking about, that's a whole different ballgame. I mean, was that a big vision or did it come step by step?
It came step by step. It was never a big vision. Absolute Collagen has never been about money. It's about empowering, like, how can I get this to as many women as possible? My friends wanted it. It's not about, oh, how can we make money? It's never been about that. Unfortunately, I'm no longer CEO. I brought one in. So for me, it's about the team and the absolutors. That's all. The absolutors are our consumers. That's all I care about. You know, we have to care about money. Of course, we've got bills to pay and all the rest of it and, you know, everything else. But if it's about money, I just don't think it'll ever work.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting when you said it's not about the money, because generally people don't believe you when you say that.
No,
they always
say,
it's not about the money. Don't we do this? But you're interesting for a whole host of reasons, but you had the money. You had the money for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it didn't make you happy.
No, because I hadn't made it. It's never mine. And that's not my ex-husband, by the way. That was me. I owned that. Do you know, it's so bizarre. I actually admitted the other day, this is so strange. When Rob and I split up, I got settlement. I got 30% of what because he had the business before me and all of that. And it wasn't, it wasn't what people might think it is. It wasn't millions and millions. I nearly had a bonfire in my garden and burnt it all. That is the honest truth. Because I thought the only way I can make something is if I really need to be hungry. And that's bizarre. I didn't do it, by the way, because I just thought I'd rather give it to charity and my kids would kill me. Yeah, but it was never mine. And as I said, that's not my ex-husband putting that on me. That was me putting that on me. I had to prove myself to myself. No doubt about it.
Because, you know, Absolute Collagen is now a very successful, very profitable company, which is marvellous. But equally, you know, you could have tried it out and it could have been interesting, it could have been nice, but not made you a fortune. Would that have felt like a disappointment?
No, not at all. I think it's always been the journey. It was never, oh, let's create a multi-million pound business. It was just, we just got on with the job in hand and just it did each step as we did it. You know, I put a lot of money in. I sold jewellery. I borrowed from friends. I remortgaged my house. I sat the kids down every stage and said, right, I want to remortgage the house. I want to put this into the business. We could lose this. And they said, what does that mean? I said, we'd move from this house to a three-bedroom house. So I kind of sold it to them like that. They went, yeah, okay, because they were always my priority. They've got to be happy. They've got to know the risks. But, you know, they were 12. No, not at that age. They were older. And they were happy, you know, and I am batshit crazy. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, who cooks up pigs, trotters and chicken feet, then ends up buying in marine collagen, creating a formula and launching it into a market that did not exist and insisting on going direct to consumer when no one else was? Crazy? I'm a risk taker, 100%.
Have you ever, you say you're good friends with your ex-husband now. Have you ever sat down over a cup of coffee, a glass of wine and just kind of, you know, just gone back over that story, what he thought, what he saw, what you saw?
So we've never actually had that conversation because I don't think it would be right for us to go that emotionally deep when he's remarried. I think that would be disrespectful to her. Mm. But she's lovely. You know, we go on walks together. I think she's a lovely, lovely lady. And I know the hardest role to play as a parent is a step-parent, and she's a step-parent to my children. And we do get on really bloody well. We don't. I'd have them over for dinner. Of course I would.
So I think you mentioned that, did your mum die at 60?
Yeah, bless her.
Yeah. I'm not going to get maudlin, don't worry about it, but I don't know if you heard us say earlier, a couple of listeners had got in touch to say that they were scared of 60, which is, I thought, really interesting. How do you feel about 60?
Do you know, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because the only thing I don't like about getting older is this: I've still got shit to do, right? There's so much thing. I want to go Kilimanjaro. I'm racing a rickshaw around Sri Lanka in 2 weeks' time. You know, there's so much I want to do, and I want to do it while I'm healthy. My mum, oh my God, done the minimum wage her whole life. She retired at 60 in January. She died in September. She used to phone me up and say, Max, I'm very rich. I don't have to do anything. They just give me this pension. It's amazing. Oh, broke my heart. And no, I'm not scared. I embrace age. I think age is... I think if I get every single woman to embrace where they're at, to really look at where they're at, and if you're in a relationship and it's not working for you, chat to him about it, chat to her about it, because you can probably, you know, you're probably feeling the same. You might be able to work it together. And I think we've got such experience at our age, and I am not scared one iota, but I get it. I respect that some people are, and I always respect people. And that must be a really horrible place to be. And I think this says a lot about me in not a nice way, is I would always say, hey, I'm walking down the road with my two daughters. Ain't no one looking at me, right? So the pressure's off. And I like that too.
It's an odd thing we have as women, isn't it? Because at a certain stage, whether we like it or not, there's got to be an element of, are we sexually attractive? And it's that thing about walking into a room, are you going to get a reaction? You're not necessarily looking for that as you get older as a woman.
No, and I'm not. And I think, you know, this whole, as I said, I'm doing some work on whether I want a relationship or not. I'm doing some work on that at the moment with someone. But it's just not on my radar. I don't even think about it. And that's bizarre. Is that because my estrogen has fallen off a cliff and my hormones have gone whoosh? I don't look at a man and think, oh, maybe I should start doing that, right?
I don't know. I think if you feel good in yourself, you do feel quite sexy. Like when you dress up and you don't have to kind of make an effort. It's just, I suppose, if you're feeling confident,
that was not sexy.
If you're feeling confident, I think it's a sort of natural thing that you do feel. Maybe it's empowered, or you just feel.
Do you ever actually sort of think to yourself, not in relation to another person, I feel sexy?
I think I do.
I do. I don't say it to people, but I definitely feel. I feel sexy. I feel sexy. So what? Well, I don't feel like jumping on a man's bones, but I do feel, hey, you got it going on today, girl. Whoa.
That comes with some confidence, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's not an ego, pig-headed. That's the difference, I think. So when I was in my 20s or 30s, if I thought I looked in the mirror and said, oh, you look good, girl. Go out there and knock them dead. Whereas now it's a different feeling. And I wish I could get every woman to, because I do think it's a period. I remember not knowing what to wear, opening my wardrobe and going, what am I supposed to wear at this age? And I went through this hippie phase. Everything was long and flowing. And my girls will laugh. Then I went through, I go for different phases. And I meant, you're changing, your body changes. And I think you have to take time. I think you have to realize that's where you're at. You have to embrace it. You have to pause. You have to look around you, and you have to get to know yourself again, because it's a different stage in your life, I believe.
Yeah, that pause, I personally think, is really important. And to a certain extent, that's where this podcast came from, because I was discombobulated about the prospect of 60. And actually, it has forced me to kind of stop and reflect. And we've listened to, you know, so many different people. Every single one has been different. Every single one has been interesting. Because I think it's too easy just to keep going, just keep the blinkers on, keep going, don't think about it. And actually to stop and think about it and think, right, okay, what do I want? Who am I? What's important? What's not? I have found that personally, you know, a really positive thing. Whereas my mum, who was a very, very tenacious, you know, little terrier of a woman. She just kept going until she hit the wall of ill health, unfortunately. God, I adored her and she was a brilliant mum. But I think somewhere in my head I thought, nah, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep just running till I hit the wall.
Mm-hmm. You've got to be kind to yourself, haven't you? And I don't think we are kind to ourselves enough, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally. And I think you've got to nurture yourself. We live a lot longer now. Jesus Christ, being 60. I remember my mum being 38 and me thinking, whoa, she's really old. Age is, you know, the different times, you know. I was chatting somebody today about somebody being 76 and not well. And we're saying, that's not an age. It's different times. And I think, you know, I think that you have to kind of reset. And you can do it with the people around you. You can do it with the people you love. You don't have to kick them out. It's a journey together. But I do think also, if you've got mood hoovers, get rid of them.
What's a mood hoover?
Somebody that just, the nayers, don't do that, don't do this, get them out.
Yeah, get shot. Get rid of them.
Listen, I've just realised the time. God, we've taken so much time. But we have to, well, we've got to do the bingo.
And also, I want you to keep my blinking and I'm taking my glasses off for this, right?
Yes.
So, what's the key?
Cream.
The stuff that you put on your eyes. Do you put it, so I read the instructions, you kind of put a little bit on, like a bit like eyeliner or whatever, and then you pat it. Do you put it under your eyes as well or not?
So the eye cream increases collagen by up to 143%. And what you do is you pat it. Your eye has got a draw, right? So don't go all over your eye. Your eye has got a draw. So you put it on and you pat around and it will draw into the eye. So you just don't put it right near the eye. You pat it on. There you go. That's it.
Right, got that wrong then. Okay.
Well, did you do it correctly tonight?
Yeah, I will do. Yes, I will do.
But, you know, we've all got our own ways and other things of doing it. And as you know, and I'll send you some, Kay, the neck and deck, darling, is my absolute favourite. Because, you know, when I look in the mirror, I go, yeah, you're okay. But it's this bit that I just think is a little bit saggy. So for me, you know, it's got Dermasculpt in and it's brilliant for tightening. So all the topicals are deep lift range and that's what they're for. So, yeah.
Neck and deck. Listen. I love it.
Neck and deck. Right, bingo.
Maxine, yeah, two numbers, please, between 1 and 60.
28, my favourite number.
Oh, right. That's my favourite age. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, 28 was a good age. I
love 68.
I'm going to do this. Choose 2 weeks of heaven.
Oh, gosh. I suppose what frame of mind I'm in. 2 weeks of heaven, right how I'm feeling today, would be going around Sri Lanka with my friends in a rickshaw that I'm doing in a couple of weeks' time and seeing them discover things about themselves that they don't know.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, next number.
Let's go for something stupid like 19.
Last decent kiss, and I don't mean from your daughters. Last decent kiss.
Oh, well, 7 years ago, I've already said it, haven't I?
Right.
Right. And you might think that's really sad, and some people do, but I'm just not ready. I know I'm not. Because even when I say that now, I can feel it in my stomach. I'm like, I am not ready. And I love snogging, by the way. The right person, a good snog. Oh, love it. But yeah, 7 years.
The next person...
poor bugger.
You're going to reveal your full self, your total self.
Yeah, if I can't give him myself, I'm not going to bother.
Well, listen, Max, it's been such a pleasure spending time with you. Thank you so much. It really has. It really has. And I'll make sure she keeps putting on her... Well, actually, I'm going to get...
What do you call it again?
Neck and deck.
Neck and deck. Let's go for neck and deck.
You have to say that properly, otherwise it sounds rude. Neck and deck. I'll send you some.
Thanks for that, Maxine. It better be a lorry load of the stuff. Next week on How to Be 60, best-selling author and screenwriter Samantha Lee Howe. Success eluded Samantha until well into her 50s, thanks to an abusive childhood and first marriage. But as she approaches 60, there is no stopping her.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.